Am I on mute? Can people hear me?
Yes, we can hear.
Very good. Okay. The Gemara tells us that Shavuos is not always celebrated on the 6th of Iyar. The Gemara says in the days that they used to be Mekadosh L'Chodesh Al Pi Hariyah, they had to wait till the witnesses came to testify when they saw the new moon. So the Gemara says, Pamim Hei, Pamim Vav, and Pamim Zayin. Excuse me. Sometimes Shavuos would fall out on the 5th of the year, sometimes the 6th, sometimes the 7th. If Nisan and Iyar would both only have 29 days, then Shavuos would be on the 7th of the year. If Nisan and Iyar both have 30 days, then Shavuos would be on the 5th day. And by us, we always have Nisan has 30 days and Iyar has 29 days, so that's why Shavuos is on the 6th of the year. But it really doesn't depend on the day of the month. It depends. After 49 days of Sfer Sa'ima, the 50th day is Shavuos. It's interesting, the Gemara says that whoever didn't bring the Oil of Sriya and the Shalmich HaGiga on Shavuos, or let's say Shavuos falls out on the Shabbos, so he can't bring the Korbanos on Shabbos. And then you have the next 6 days after following Shavuos, even though it's not Chol HaMoed, you have the ability to bring Tashlum, to bring the Korbanos. The Gemara learns it out, and the Gemara Chagiga learns it out from the fact that you count Sfiras HaOmer, Mitzvah L'mim Niyomi or Mitzvah L'mim Nishavuah. We have a mitzvah to count both the days and the weeks. Like today, you say that today is, what is today? The 40th day of Sfiras HaOmer, that's 5 weeks and 5 days. So the Gemara says, what is that all about, Mitzvah L'mim Niyomi, Mitzvah L'mim Nishavuah? The Sfiras HaOmer is for the purpose of establishing Shavuos. So Shavuos is a holiday of 1 day and a holiday of a whole week. In what way is Shavuos a holiday? 1 day. 1 day is also the Malachim. 1 day you bring the Musafim. In what way is Shavuos a holiday of a week? On Pesach, you also eat chametz a whole week. On Sukkot, you have to sit in the Sukkah all week long and you shake the lulav every day. In what sense is Shavuos a yantaf of a whole week? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara understands from that that they have Tashlum and Kol Shiva. Whoever didn't bring the Korbanos, Riyah and Chagiga, on Shavuos, has the next 6 days to bring the Korbanos. So that's what the Sfiras HaOmer is all about. The Oros HaMeach, in his commentary on the Rambam and Hilchos Tamidim and Musafim, when the Rambam quotes all the dinim of Sfiras HaOmer, so the Oros HaMeach explains that based on this Gemara and Chagiga, he explains the opinion of the Rabbein Yeruchim, which is quoted in on the bottom of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Pesach, and the Rama holds like this also, the Igor Sarama, one of the Rishonim. They say that where the Sfiras HaOmer today is the Raisa, the Rabbanan, the Machlekes, and the Shulchan Aruch, the accepted Psak is that since there's no Beis HaMikdash, and we didn't bring the Minchas HaOmer, that the whole mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer today is only with the Rabbanan. And the Rama and the Goyanim seem to hold otherwise. They don't mention at all that it's only with the Rabbanan. The simple reading of the Rambam is that Sfiras HaOmer today is still Minat Torah. So these Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and the Rama have a compromised opinion. The counting of the days is the Raisa, the counting of the weeks is only the Rabbanan. Based on a Gemara, a Meimer counted days and he didn't count weeks. The Gemara in Menachos on Daf Samachov. Why do you only have a mitzvah Minat Torah to count the days and no mitzvah to count the weeks? Because the whole relevance of establishing Shavuos as a yantav of a whole week is only with respect to the tashlum and for the korbanos. So b'zman she'im beis hamikdash kayim, you're not going to bring any korbanos at all. So you don't need to create Shavuos. You don't need to establish Shavuos as a yantav of a whole week. So the sphere of Shavuos is only the rabbanon. But the counting of the days, zecha l'mikdash. But the counting of the days, that's the rice, because the counting of the days is what's koveh Shavuos as a yantav of a day. A very fascinating compromise opinion. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash has a famous comment. He says, the Tanoim refer to Shavuos as Atzeres. We know Shmini Atzeres is the 8th day of Sukkot. Why is Shavuos Atzeres? So he says, because Pesach is also a Yantav of 7 days, and the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach is Shavuos. And the long pause of Sfiras HaOmer, the 7 weeks in between, is like a long Chol HaMoed connecting the Shmini Atzeres, namely Shavuos, with the Pesach. What's the significance of connecting? So he explains, based on the Pesukim Chumash, because the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was not just to gain political freedom and independence. You're free to do whatever you don't please. The whole purpose of the spheres, the whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim, B'hotziach Hasam in Mitzrayim, Tabdanes Elikim ala Harazah, the purpose of spheres, the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was to lead up to Maimon HaSinai. And that's the meaning of the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ein Lecha Ben Chora L'Misha Isek Batoira. The Cheirus, Pesach is Man Cheirus Seinu, but the Cheirus was not complete until 7 weeks later when we received the Torah at Har Sinai. That's the Poshe Pshat and Poshe Motiach Hasam in Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to lead up to Maimon HaSinai. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there was a Sephardish rabbi who interpreted the pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that 7 weeks after Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Jews will worship the eagle. Tablanas Elohim, Loshen Avodah Zarah, not Loshen Kodesh. So they put him in Cherem for his wild pshat. It was, this rabbinic license to give adrasha, but not to interpret the pasuk the opposite from what it means. Tavdun salakim lashon kodesh. It does mean lashon avodah zarah. It's interesting. In the days of the Bais Sheni, there was an ongoing debate between the tzdukim and the chachamim how to translate mimrachas hashabbos. So our tradition has it that you start counting sphere. You bring the minchas ha'emer on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, and mimrachas hashabbos starting from the first day Chol HaMoed, you start counting sphere ha'emer. Whatever day of the week it turns out to be. And the tzdukim is manabayis, interpreted the mochas ha-shabbos, that you always start counting sphira on a Sunday, and you have 7 full weeks, Sunday through Shabbos, and then Shavuos is always an extended weekend. It's always going to be on a Sunday. It's interesting, and then the Gemara quotes the whole debate that the Chachamim had for many years. It was ongoing for many years. The Bais Sheni was run by the Kohanim, who were tzdukim for quite a while. And when the Chachamim succeeded in kicking out the Tzdukim from the Beis HaMikdash and establishing Itokim Chagat Shavuaya, they established the observance of the Yontov of Shavuos properly, that it should be observed 7 weeks after the first day Pesach, starting from the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. And it turns out Shavuos turns out to be whenever it will be. It's not always an extended weekend. So that's one of the Amitayim HaMegillas Tainus. They established a Yontif when they established the celebration of the Yontif of Shavuos properly. This Inyan, that the Pentecost is the holiday of the 50th day that the Catholics observe, Pentecost, always on a Sunday, this is one of the shtick that the Christians picked up from the Tzedukim, the over 10 things that they picked up from the Tzedukim, from the Zman Abayis, this was one of them. There was an old binig, the Zecha L'mayim in Har Sinai. On Har Sinai, it says, Gamatzon v'abakar al yiru al mura horahu. You shouldn't let the animals graze over there. So obviously there was grass. There's grass, there are probably flowers. So there was an old binig, the Zecha L'mayim in Har Sinai. We put flowers, we beautify the shul by putting flowers around the bima. When you have a shul, so the shul is miyuchad for davening, and the bima is miyuchad, the kriyas ha-Torah. It should be on an elevated platform. If the community has enough money, if they can afford to build the platform. So that's what it says in this one, based on a passage in the Zohar. Just like the Torah was given from on top of the mountain, so the kriyas ha-Torah and shul should be on an elevated platform, higher than the rest of the shul. And a beis ha-medrash, which is miyuchad, a yeshiva, which is miyuchad for learning, so you don't have to have an elevated platform for the kriyas ha-Torah. The whole Beis HaMedrash is the top of the mountain, because the whole Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning. But in the shul, which is miyuchad for davening, so only the elevated platform is considered the top of the mountain. And they used to beautify. They used to put flowers on the bima. Zecher l'mayim ha-Sina. On Shavuos, when the Kabbalah Sator took place, the Chayyodom was in the same generation as the Vilna Gaon. He was a mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. So he writes that the Vilna Gaon felt that today, that in the practice became, I don't know how the Vilna Gaon knew it, he says that today, that in all the churches, they beautify the church on holidays and on Sunday by putting flowers around it, so we should no longer continue that practice. Even though in the earlier generations, it was a beautiful minhag, But since the Nochrim have adapted it to the Shema Avodah, we should discontinue it just like Matzeva. It says in the Chumash, L'sakim l'cha Matzeva she'sonei Hashem alokecha. So Rashi in his commentary on Chumash translates, he quotes from the Tanoim, what does it mean, she'sonei Hashem alokecha? In the days of the Ovis, Avram Yitzchak Yankiv, the Matzeva was Ahuva, it was beloved, because the Ovis would bring Karbonos l'Hashemayim. But once the Ovdei Avodah Zarah adapted that practice, instead of making a mizbech with many stones, they would make a matzeva with one big slab of stone. So we're no longer allowed to follow that practice. If the Nochrim will stop wearing tefillin, we're not going to stop wearing tefillin. Tefillin is a mitzvah. But over here, this was just a minig to bring karbonos on a slab of stone. So the Torah prohibited it. So the same the flowers in the shul. The minig is only in shul. I don't think there's a minig to have flowers at home, even though everybody's home now. We're all going to daven in a home. Maybe we'll go to shul by then. Okay, let's hope so.
But, Rabbi?
Yeah.
Is it just that the bima should be elevated, or also the aron, the place where the sefer Torah is stored?
I don't think the aron has to be elevated. We have a platform in front of the aron for the purpose of duchening. A duchen means a platform. So the Kohanim, when they gave the brichas Kohanim, and Eretz Yisrael get brichas Kohanim every day. That's the way it's really supposed to be. So the Kohanim is supposed to say the brichas Kohanim from an elevated platform. Some Svardish Achrayim hold that the platform is ma'akev. If you don't have an elevated platform, you can't have duchening. The Ashkenazim don't hold like that. I remember one summer I visited Eretz Yisrael with my family, so we stayed in Beit Vegan, not far from Kol Torah Yeshiva there. So they have a platform in the front. They have students, Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So they duchen every day by Shachris. So first they allowed all the Sephardim to go up on the platform. And then if there was a little space left, so they allowed some of the Ashkenazim to go up. Why only the Sephardim first? Because none of the Ashkenazi poskim hold that it's Ma'akeh B'Dievet. There are Sephardish poskim who hold that it's Ma'akeh B'Dievet. So that's why they had, the Kedima was to the Sephardish Talmidim. But l'chatchila, you should have an elevated platform by the Aron Kodesh in order that the Kohanim should be able to duchen from there. Many shuls, there's a minhag, the Pashto says that it's not a real din, that you don't begin to dav mar the first night of Shavuos until Tzeisar Kochavim. The two versions to this minhag, whether the Kepeda is you shouldn't dav mar it before Tzeisar Kochavim, or no, you can daven right away, you can daven early, but you shouldn't recite Kiddush at home before Tzeisar Kochavim. The two versions here by the Yekis in Washington Heights, they daven right away, but they don't say Kiddush when they get home until Tzeisar Kochavim. What is it based on? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Achrayim who say that it's based on the Pasuk, Sheva Shabbos has Tamimus Tehiyena. Shabbos doesn't begin until you have 7 full weeks, the 49 full days of Sefirah Simon. So Tamimus means you have to wait till Tzeisar Kochavim. The Knesset HaGdolah, which is a Likut of Achrayim on the tour in the Beis Yosef, Knesset HaGdolah suggests that since the observance of the second day Shabbos is because it started off as a Sfeika D'Yoyma, maybe it's really the first day, maybe the first day was really Erev Yontif, so you should be Makbid on the second night as well. So those who wouldn't daven Ma'ariv until Tzeisar Kochavim shouldn't daven Ma'ariv the second night of Shavuos also till Tzeisar Kochavim. Those who wouldn't say Kiddush the first night shouldn't say Kiddush the second night till Tzeisar Kochavim. The Prima Godim quotes this Knesset HaGdolah and he disagrees. He thinks that we already finished all the Sefirah Simer the day before Shavuos. We didn't count Sefirah Simer Misafik 2 days. Maybe today's the second day, maybe it's the first day. So the Tamimus is finished already. We already have the Sheva Shabbos as Tamimus. So the Prima Godim disagrees. He says the second night of Shavuos, there's no need to wait for Tzeisar Kochavim at all. In Germany, for many centuries, they had a minhag. The Maharil records this. Maharil was, I think, from the 1300s. Maharil records the minhag that every Yontif Sheni Shel Golus, every second night of Yontif, you don't begin to daven until Tzeisar Kochavim. This time, Shavuos is on Friday and Shabbos, so that minhag doesn't apply. But we'll explain in a minute. But the minhag in Germany was for only in Germany. The rest of Europe, they didn't have this minhag. When you have 2 days Yontif in the middle of the week, so you wouldn't daven, you wouldn't start Baruch Hu till Tzeisar Kochavim. The reason being that you're not allowed to do any malochas on the first day for the second day. So the women will be nervous if they'll daven Ma'ariv right away after the Shkia. So then the women will be nervous. The husbands are going to soon come home with the children from shul. They're going to want to say Kiddush. So they may put up the food to cook on the first day. You're not allowed to do a malach on the first day for the second day. You're not supposed to set the table either on the first day for the second day. So they introduced the minig in German communities that you don't begin to say Baruch till Nacht, till Tzeisakom, you daven slowly. So the women know that there's no rush. They didn't start davening Maariv until after Nacht. So they have time after Nacht to make all the preparations. So those who have such a minig, okay. But so every Yantam Sheni Shal Goli is here. You don't start to daven Maariv and Shul until Tzeisakom. But in the other communities where they didn't have that meaning, now it became more widespread because wherever the yekids go, so they always insist in the shul, can't daven Maariv until Tzeisakom. So a lot of the shuls, they introduce that the rabbi holds a sermon and gives a shir, says the Brei Torah. So a lot of shuls, they wait the second night of Yantav till Tzeisakom. Okay. When it's Shabbos and you made an Erev Tavshil, this year, Shavuos is Friday and Shabbos, you made an Erev Tavshil, and once you make an Erev Tavshil, then it's permissible to cook on the first day for Shabbos, the second day. So the Magen Avraham says, Adarabba. Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Erev Tavshilin that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, the minig in his city was that they would dafke be mekabel Shabbos early, late in the afternoon on the first day Yontif, or if it's 2 days, if it's Thursday and Friday, so they would daven late in the afternoon on Friday, the Shabbos digger davening early. Why? Because the whole heter, how is it permissible with an Erev Tavshilin to cook on the first day Yontav for the second day Yontav? If there's an Issa deraisa, you're not allowed to do malach on Yontav. Only Ochal Nefesh is mutter. Only Ochal Nefesh for today is mutter. So why is there a heter if you make Erev Tavshilin is only an invention with the Rabbanan? How does that make it permissible to cook on Yontav for Shabbos if there's an Issa deraisa? So the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Memches has a whole discussion. Machlekes Rabbi Rav Chizda, what's the heter on the level of the Raisa? So most of the Rishonim assume that we pass like Rabba, that the reason why it's mutter to cook on Yontif for Shabbos, even without an Erev Tavshin, Menatar, it's mutter even without an Erev Tavshin. Erev Tavshin is only needed mid the Rabbanan. So the reason why it's mutter to cook, because theoretically you could have eaten all of that food on the first day Yontif. How can you theoretically eat all the food? You cook on Yontif in the afternoon a whole fleshy meal. Who's going to eat all that? So maybe guests will come, and theoretically you can eat the whole meal. You can eat the whole meal on Yontif afternoon. You don't plan to. You clearly plan to eat that food on Leil Shabbos or Shabbos in the morning. But since theoretically we ignore the fact that you didn't have that in mind, Ochal Nefesh sets itself up automatically. Since theoretically the food could have all been eaten on the first day Yontif, on Yontif on Friday. So that's why it's mutter min haTorah. So Tesis points out on that Gemara, that's only if you're cooking early in the afternoon on Yontav on Friday. Let's say you're cooking, you put up the chon the last minute before Shabbos. So you're doing a malacha bishul by putting up the chon, but it's still raw. The food is still raw. And it's not going to get cooked till late Friday night. So how can you say over there that it's mutter min haTorah to cook on Yontav for Shabbos? Because theoretically, he could have eaten the food on Yontif. It's not ready for Yontif. You're going to put a kettle of cold water on the fire, then you're going to bench licht. So the what you did a malacha on Yontif, cooking water, and the water didn't. It's not ready yet to drink a cup of hot tea. It's not going to, if you have a low fire, it's not going to get cooked till Leil Shabbos. So you did a malacha on Yontif for Shabbos. But that's why the Magen Avraham writes that the city where he came from, he lived in Kalish in Poland. So the minig used to be that whenever you make an Erev Tavshilin, that Friday afternoon, they would daven Maariv early. They'd be Kabbal Shabbos early. The Mishnah quotes the Prima Gadim who recommends that we should adopt this minig in all the communities. So that's a shaila this year. That's a shaila this year. When you have 2 days, when you have, we have a minig that the first night, many have the minig, the first night of Shavuos, you don't daven Maariv till Nacht, till Tzeisakom. You don't say Kiddush till Tzeisakom. So what about the second night? So the Knesset Agdola thought that the second night you should observe also the same meaning. The Prima Gadim disagreed. If it's only based on Tmima, he said the second night is now we show up Sfira Saimer. You already finished the whole Sfira before the first day of Shavuos entered. The Stama, the Knesset Agdola may be basing his position And a different opinion than it's in his commentary on Chumash on Parshas Emor, as well as the Rav Shlomo LeVilna, who was the Dayan in Vilna in the late 1800s, same time, contemporary of the Netziv. Shlomo LeVilna was the Magi on the Vilna Shas. He checked his grandson, he used to teach in the yeshiva when I was a student in the high school, Rabbi Markelis. And he said the family tradition has it that his grandfather, Rav Shlomo LeVilna, corrected the galleys for the Vilna Shas from memory. He didn't look back in the Gemara to see what the text is, Gemara, Rashi, and Taisis. He knew it all by heart, word for word, letter for letter. So he corrected all the galleys from memory. That's why I add on that every so often there's a mistake in the Vilna Shas that doesn't appear in any other edition of the Gemara. It's a mistake that only a Litvak would make. You have a Shin instead of a Samach instead of a Shin. By now they already corrected. In all the new editions of the Gemara, they corrected. But in the old editions of the Vilna Shas, there were sometimes misspellings because the Litvaks mispronounced, they pronounce a Shin like a Samach and a Samach like a Shin. So sometimes you have such mistakes. So Rav Shlomo LeVilna was a big genius. So he wrote a Sefer Binyan Shlomo. So in the Binyan Shlomo he has, and then it's Sib in his commentary on Chumash, they both have the same suggestion that the practice to wait till Tzeisa Kochavim with Kiddush or with davening Ma'ariv on the first night of Shavuos is not so much based on Tmima, it's not like the Magen Avraham quoted the Masas Binyamin. Masas Binyamin was an earlier Tshuva Sefer from the early 1600s. But rather, it's based on the pasuk that says in Parsha Samar, "Ukrasim be'etzem hayim azem mikra kodesh yelachem kamalachos avoyda loy sasu." So, "Ukrasim be'etzem hayim azem mikra kodesh" means you should recite kiddush. "Be'etzem hayim azem" means on yontif itself, not during this man of Tosefos. So the Netziv made it as if it's a din deraisa. Netziv, the way he interpreted the pasuk. The Masas Binyamin said it as a minig. You wait to see that it should be Tmimos. Shavuos doesn't begin till after the 7 full weeks. I remiz. But according to the way the Netziv interpreted the pasuk, he sort of made it into a real din deraisa. So that's probably what the Knesset HaGdola was thinking. That's not just because of the Sfiras HaEmor that you want to daven late, says Chacham. Yeah, but Mistama, one can rely on the Prima Gordon. You're talking about a minig over here. It's not a real din. The Pashtus is not a real din. It's only a minig. So you mechuyev to be machmer on the minig even the second night of Shavuos. Stama not mechuyev. So unless let's say this year that Shavuos is Friday and Shabbos, so for sure you can daven early. That's the Pashtus is like that. You can daven early. And even on a regular year, that the 2 days Shavuos in the middle of the week, and there's no Erev Tavshilin. So also there's room to be made on the second night, to be Mekabel Yantav early, to be Mekabel Shabbos early, and to make Kiddush and so on. Of course, you have to be careful. Yeah. If it's in the middle of the week, 2 days Yantav, middle of the week, and you want to be Mekabel Yantav early, the second day Shavuos early, you have to be careful that if you cook something on the first day, you should eat. Let's say you heated up the soup on the first day. You should make sure you serve the soup before the shkia on the first day. If you're going to heat it up and then only eat it after Tzeisah Kochavim, then it comes out that you did malach on the first day for the second day. That's not permissible. Regarding the meals on Shavuos, the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim, Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua. Regarding there's a contradiction between two psukim. One pasuk describes Yantif Atzeres Lashem Alakecha, a day dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davening and learning. The other pasuk describes Yantif Atzeres Tiyalachem, you should eat and drink and be merry. So it seems to be a contradiction. So what do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim? There is no Kosev HaShlishi Sheachriya Benim. So that's a machlokes and midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. Reb Lezer is of the opinion that whenever you have Shnei Ksuvim HaMakrishim Zeh, and you don't have a Kosev HaShlishi Sheachriya Benim, so what it means is that it's optional. You can either do one way or the other. You can choose to either the first way or the other. Say, O Kula Lashem, O Kula Lachem. That's Reb Lezer's opinion. And we don't paskin like Reb Lezer, we paskin like Reb Yeshua. Even though there is no Kosev HaShlishi Sheachriya Benim, we make a compromise on our own because of the two psukim. So we say, Chalkeu, Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem. And the Rambam describes how should it be chetzel Hashem and chetzel Lachem. Idaben Ma'ariv, then you eat the first meal. Idaben Shachris in the morning. Idaben Ashul Yelein, that's chetzel Hashem. Then you have chetzel Lachem, you eat. Then you daven Minchah, and then you have Shalosh Udas. And the Rambam describes it both in Hilchos Shabbos and in Hilchos Yontif. First you have the chetzel Hashem, then you have a chetzel Lachem. So the Gemara says this machlokes between Rav Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua only applies in the other Yamim Tovim, on Pesach and on Sukkot. But on Shavuos HaKol Moedim, even the Tana Rav Lezer, who would normally say that if one wants to observe Yontif, one wants to celebrate Yontif by having Kula Lashem, just having brief meals like a regular day, a regular weekday, you don't have to have elaborate meals on Yontif. But on Shavuos HaKol Moedim, even Rav Lezer agrees you have to have elaborate meals because Yom Shenitnam B'Torah. The Gemara doesn't explain, therefore, what? Yom Shenit Matorah Adarab, you should dedicate the whole day to learning Torah. Why should you say everyone agrees that you should have a meal? So there's a source for that in the Chumash, that when you have Kabbalah Satorah, you have to celebrate. Pasuk says, on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, Vayechsa Salakim, Vayochlu Vayishtu. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they were eating and drinking. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash, quotes the Tanoim, who say that this was not proper. They were eating popcorn Cracker Jacks like you do at horse racing or as you do in the movies. You sit, you put the popcorn in your mouth, you nibble on snacking. On the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and they were punished for taking it lightly. And the Rabban quotes the Medrash just the reverse. Vayechel Salakim, Vayechel Vayishtu was a proper thing. They did the right thing. We can't, when this pasuk we derive, show some suda legemra shel Torah, that when you finish a mesichta, you should make a party. Because the covered Kabbalah Satorah, they ate an elaborate meal. But that's what the Gemara says. Even Rabbi Lezer, we happen to paskin like Rabbi Shua on every Shabbos and every Yontif, Chetzel Hashem Chetzel Lachem. But even the Tana Rabbi Lezer, he usually says on Yontif, usually means on Pesach and on Sukkot, if you want to, akula l'shem, akula l'chem. But on Shavuos, he also agrees you have to have, everyone agrees you have to have an elaborate meal. The Ramban in his commentary on Chumash Devarim points out that the Kriya Satorah on Shavuos morning is a real mitzvah min HaTorah. Once a year, we have to fulfill a pasuk. V'hidaitem l'vanecha v'levnei v'anecha yom asher emarta l'fnei am Hashem alakecha b'choreif. The two major historical events that are so crucial in our religion are Yitzias Mitzrayim and Maimon HaSinai. On the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all the 13 Ikar HaEmunah were demonstrated. Kadosh Baruch Hu said in advance that he's going to do all the Nisim and the flaws, V'idaitim Kani Hashem, in order that all the people should realize the Ikar HaEmunah. And then Maimon HaSinai was where the whole Gibur Shechinah and the whole Torah was given at HaSinai. So these are the two major historical events. So that's why there's a mitzvah, the Sapi Yitzias Mitzrayim, every day, and on Pesach Ba'arichas, and that's why there's a mitzvah to tell over Yom Asher Hodaitem Lo Vanecha V'Levnei Vanecha Yom Asher Amarato V'Levnei Hashem Elokecha B'chor. We are in fulfillment of that mitzvah, not only on Shavuos, on Shabbos Parshas Yisro, and on Shabbos Parshas Vayis Chanan. We learn three times a year, we learn about Maimon HaSinai. So we should all have a mind to fulfill that mitzvah. Usually when we learn the common practices, when you learn B'tzibur Aseres Adivis, you learn the Tam HaElyon. What is the Tam HaElyon all about? Some communities, they only learn Tam HaElyon on Shavuos, and on Yisro, and on Vayis Chanan, they learn the Tam HaTachton. What's the difference between the Tam HaElyon and Tam HaTachton? The Tam HaTachton divides up the Psukim as Psukim. The Tam HaElyon breaks them up as Dibrois. So let's say Loisirtach Lesinach Lesignaiv are all in one pasuk. So according to the Tam HaTachton, it's read as one pasuk. According to Tam HaElyon, Loisirtach Loisinach, each one is named as a separate, as if it's a separate pasuk. And the same thing, Yilohalahim Acherim Alpanai is a few psukim in the Tam HaTachton, but in the Tam HaElyon, since it's all one dibur, one of the Aseres HaDibros, so you learn it as one pasuk. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik didn't allow them to learn Tam HaTachton because he felt that we don't have any source in the Gemara for this. So he felt that it's a violation of the din of Kol Psukah Lo Paskei Moshe Anan Lo Paskinan. You're not supposed to break up a pasuk to read it as if it's two psukim. And also you're not allowed to read two psukim together as if it's one run run on pasuk. You have to read the psukim kichsavam. Kriyas HaTorah has to be kichsavah. You have to read it, but Torah's psukim. The common practice is that we do read Tam HaElyon. We assume that there's a tradition. Reb Chaim didn't know the source of the tradition, so he thought that it's not right to do that. The Rambam has a famous tshuva where he says that it's against the din to stand up. If the practice in the shul is that everybody sits for the Kriyas HaTorah, they only stand up when it comes to Aseres HaDibur. So you're giving more importance to the Aseres HaDibur than the rest of the Torah. So this is against the halacha. This is against the halacha. The Mishnah says that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, after they daven shachris in the morning, they used to recite Aseres HaDibur. And then after the Churban HaBayis, they instituted this practice in other communities as well. And then the Tanoim discontinued it. They said it's not a good idea because of Tarumas Haminim. The Apikursim think that there are only 10 mitzvahs were given in HaShemayim, and they don't believe in Taryag mitzvahs, so that we don't want to give any more importance to the Aseres HaDibur than to the rest of the Taryag mitzvahs out there. So that's why the Rambam says that he thinks that it's not right to stand if you sit the whole time. Because HaTorah is not right to stand only for the Aseres HaDibur. Common practice is that in all the shuls they do like that. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe 1 minute explains the other, because our practice is that we lay the Aseres HaDibur in the Tam HaElyon, so we lay it as Dibur, we're not laying it as Psukim, so it's as if we are reenacting Maimon HaSinai. So that's why we stand when we lay the Aseres HaDibur with the Tam HaElyon, so we are reenacting Maimon HaSinai. So that's why Maimon HaSinai, everybody was standing. The regular Kriyas HaTorah is not a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai, but the Aseres HaDibur, because we learn Tam HaElyon, so it's a reenactment of Maimon HaSinai. Maybe that's why the meaning is that we stand. But we don't consider the Aseres HaDibur, those mitzvahs, more important than any other mitzvahs. One of the Hungarian Gedolim writes in his Tshuvas that when you look at an Aron Kodesh, a lot of times the Parochas has the Aseres HaDibur on it. So aren't you demonstrating that the Aseres HaDibur are more important than the other mitzvahs in the Torah? So not necessarily. The Parochas in front of the Aron, and the Aron and the Beis HaMikdash had the Luchas in it. So he's just showing what the Parochas is, what was the Parochas in the Beis HaMikdash? It was to cover the Aseres HaDibur, Pashup Shah. So this Hungarian Achman says, no, he thinks that it started from the Reform. The Reform were the first ones who started this practice, and we should discontinue it. You shouldn't have parechas with Aseres HaDibur.
Was it the Minchas Elazar?
I think that's who it was. No?
Oh, no, I have a different Achron.
So I could have sworn I saw it there, but okay.
Could be.
No, I'll look it up, and next year I'll see if I remember it from him, because I could have sworn he asked the same question somewhere. Right. So I'll see if it's him, and I'll refer back to see if he or maybe he quotes the person who the Rebbe's talking about. Yeah. So I'll look it up.
Yeah. The question is historically is probably not correct, because we have old parochas from centuries ago before the Reform movement began. And even the very old parochas also have the Aseres HaDibur on the parochas. Pashtus is parochas in the Beis HaMikdash. It was in front of the Aron. The Aron had the Luchas in it. That's what you have. The old minig was that they used to recite Hakdamas in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. The Kohen would say the Brocha, and then they would say Hakdamas in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. By now, most of the shuls discontinued it. Broyers never changes anything, so I think they still say Hakdamas in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. But in most shuls, they did away with that because they felt that it's a big hapsok.
Rabbi, would it be correct to stand a couple psukim before? A lot of shuls had that minhagim by Az Yashir as well, where they stand a couple psukim before.
Yeah. So you're not only standing for the Aseres HaDibur. Okay, that also solves the problem. Yeah. In the days of the Balei HaTesis and earlier, there used to be a practice that they used to rattle off piyutim in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, in between each one of the Aseres HaDibur, in between the first and the second. They would say a long piyut that covered all of the 613 mitzvahs in the order the way which mitzvahs fall under the category of the first of the Aseres HaDibur, which are classified with the second of the Aseres HaDibur, and so on. These piyutim were called azharis. Azharis means tzivuyim. And they would recite their different, in different communities, they would recite different piyutim that they ran through all of the Taryag Mitzvah Sater. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, as a child he remembered when he lived in Europe, they used to say these piyutim, but they didn't say them all on the first day of Shavuos. They said, they probably didn't say it in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah either. They said half of the piyutim on the, half of the long piyut on the first day, half on the second day. So they did around 300 mitzvahs the first day, 300 mitzvahs on the second day. This is very long. They run through the all of the Taryag mitzvahs. Most of the, all of those piyutim, there was a big machlekas, the Rambam and the Baal Halachas Gedolos and Sefer Halachas Gedolos is a Sefer HaMitzvahs that lists off what, in his opinion, are the 613 mitzvahs. So the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, includes mitzvahs the Rabbanon also in the count of the Taryag. And the Rambam thinks that that doesn't make any sense. You should only include mitzvahs deraisa, mitzvahs the Rabbanon, when not given a Har Sinai. The Gemara says, Taryag mitzvahs in Nemar Lola Moshe B'Sinai. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, the, he remembers as a child, they said the piyutim, half on the first day, half on the second day, the piyutim that they said did include mitzvahs the Rabbanon as well. When you daven a musaf on Shavuos and Pesach and on Sukkot and on Rosh Chodesh, you say, there's one soy lechape. On Shavuos, the Balatanya writes in the Siddur based on a group of Rishonim, you should really say Shnei Seirim lechape. One soy was brought, as it says in Parshas Pinchas, part of the Musaf, and the other soy came in conjunction with Tishtei Alechem. But the bottom line, there were two Seirim that were brought on Yom Kippur. So most don't say Shnei Seirim. Most people in Nusach Hashkan just say soy lechape. One story in Parshas Pinchas, Baal HaTanya says, based on a group of Rishonim, that really you should say Shnei Sirim Lechaper. On Shavuos, they brought the korban Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem was Chametz. And the Gemara Shavuos says that the, usually you're not allowed to bring a mincha in the Beis Hamikdash from Chametz. This was an exception to the rule. Shtei Alechem was Chametz. And the Gemara considers it a mochash of a korban. The Gemara says they really should have been Mechanech the Azara with the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos because it's a mocha of a korban, but you can't do it on Shavuos. So they did it with Menachos. On Shavuos, there's a unique korban that's brought Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. The usually a korban Shlomim is a korban Kachim Kalim. All the karbonis are divided into two categories, the kachim kalim and kachim kachim. So shlamim, normally a shalma yochid, when a private person brings a shlamim, it's a kachim kalim. When the tzibur brings once a year on Shavuos, they bring the kibseh atzeres, shnei kibseh atzeres, in conjunction with the shtei alechem. So that's zivchei shalmei tzibur, that's a kachim kachim. The only korban that changes, if you bring it be yochid, it's a kachim kalim, and if you bring it tzibur, it's a kachim kachim. Because on Shavuos they used to bring the Shtei Alechem as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash, so the Ramah says that's why the Minig developed to have milchiks on Shavuos. What does it have to do? There are different suggestions given why you have milchiks. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch gives this following explanation. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have Lechem Mishneh, Zeichel Amon, that the Mon neither fell down, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. So double portion of Mon would fall down in advance. If you would have, let's say, Shavuos would be in the Midbar, I don't know, Shavuos would be on a Friday, so there'll be a triple portion of Mon would fall down on Thursday, enough for Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, a triple portion. That's a question, why shouldn't we have Lechem Mishulosh? Why do we only have Lechem Mishneh on the first day Shavuos and on Shabbos following? The second day Shavuos, you should have had Lechem Mishulosh. So that's a question that the Binyan Shlomo talks about it. Shlomo Levin in his Sefer says he was bothered with that kasha for many years, and he discusses that interesting question. So the Ramah says the minig is that you have both milchiks and fleshiks on Shavuos in order that you'll have to eat both challahs. Why? In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have spoons, forks, and knives. So they used to eat everything with their fingers, everybody, not just the Jews. The Nochem also ate it. This is a modern thing. This is a recent thing. In recent years, you eat the soup with a spoon, and you eat the chicken with a with a fork and you cut it with a knife. You don't pull it apart with your fingers. So years ago, when a person was eating fleishigs, they used to eat a lot of bread also. So with their fleishig fingers, with the greasy fingers, they would rip off a piece of challah from the loaf of bread. So that challah that was left over from a fleishig meal was not allowed to be eaten in a milchig meal. And the same thing if you had milchig, so you weren't permitted to eat the leftover bread from the milchig meal with a fleishig meal, because the fingers that were, that had the cheese on them or that had the milk on them would be touching the bread. So there would be a residue of cheese or milk on the challah. So you should, it's not right to eat it together with a fleishig meal later on. So the meaning was on Shavuos, this is what the Ramah claimed. The meaning was on Shavuos to have milchiks, not to have milchiks period, not to have milchiks and then fleishiks in the same meal, so that you'll have to eat both challahs. You have to eat milchiks with the one, with from the one challah, and then you have to eat fleishiks with the second challah. They always used to eat, but today everybody's on a diet and everybody just eats a little bit of challah at the beginning of the meal and you call it quits. And years ago, they never did that. You used to have a lot of bread. You used to have 8 slices of bread in a meal. And everything you ate with bread. Europeans do like that. They eat a lot of bread. So that's why you have to have lechem. That's why you have to have milchiks and fleishiks on Shabbos in the same meal, so that you'll have to eat both of the challahs to make a zecher to the lechem mishnah. There's a tshuva sefer Malamed Lehoel by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, where he discusses the following issue. The Zohar writes, this is quoted in Yerideus and in Peites. Zohar writes that it's not proper to eat fleishiks and milchiks in the same meal. You know, you're having first milchiks and then fleishiks and you have to brush your teeth in between. You have to bench in between because you don't have to wait 6 hours between milchiks and fleishiks, but you shouldn't have in the same meal. Alpi nigla, it is permissible. So the Melamed Lehoel has a discussion in the tshuva. Is it permissible to bench after you have the milchiks? Then you'll have to wash and say hamotzi again and bench again. Or is that the gorim brocha shenet tzvicha? According to the Gemara, it's a brocha shenet tzvicha. It wasn't necessary to say birchas hamotzi to break the meal up in half. And according to the Zohar, it is. So is that how do you deal with that? Well, there's a conflict between the Gemara and the Zohar. Is that a violation? The gorim brocha shenet tzvicha.
The Rambam, when there's a conflict between the Zohar and the Gemara, right? There's always like different opinions about what we do. I know the different Chaim of Sons was like, you know, and because he felt that people were going away. What does the Rebbe advise when it comes to Zohar versus Gemara? Because it's a very, very big divide in our religion in general, right? You have many people who go off and do all these funny things. And then you have the people who are, you know, they want to stick to what always happened. How does Rebbe deal with that question?
The klal is that you follow the Gemara. Whenever there's a conflict, you follow the Gemara. They quote from the Vilna Gaon that there's only one conflict. There's only one steer between the Gemara and the Zohar with respect to walking behind someone who's davening Shemoneh Esrei within Dalai Lama's. That according to the Zohar, even the Dalai Lama is in the behind, you're not allowed to walk. And according to the Gemara, it's only Lefanov. And he says all the other contradictions are not really contradictions. So in the history books about the Vilna Gaon, Aliyos Eliyahu, and so on. So they talk about all the Acharonim who say there are many contradictions. And the Vilna Gaon somehow felt that he resolved all the contradictions. That the Kalahs, we always follow the Gemara. We don't follow the Zohar.
But Rabbi, if there are chumras based off the Zohar, we should follow those chumras? We should try to follow chumras from the Zohar?
If it doesn't contradict the Gemara, so we have many minhagim, we have many things that we introduced into Shulchan Aruch based on Zohar, but it doesn't contradict any Gemaras. But if it contradicts, like over here, it's a shad of a bracha shein etzricha. You have one meal and you're breaking it up in half just because of the Zohar. Based on the nigla, there's no problem. You just brush your teeth in between the milchiks and the fleishiks. You have milchiks and fleishiks in the same meal. And the Zohar says you're not allowed to. So here there's an issue. Usually the other things, your father desire has a minig, a chumrah, okay? But here it contradicts the halacha. That's the issue.
The Gra is saying that there's a cloud that there's never contradictions?
No, he says he says there is a contradiction about walking toch Dalai Lama behind the person. But he says the poskim say whenever there's a the poskim assume that there are contradictions. They say whenever there's a contradiction, we follow the halacha. We don't follow the Kabbalah. The Rambam raises an issue in the Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, and we'll close with this. regarding Yantam Sheni Shel Shavuos, since Shavuos doesn't really depend on the day of the month, it doesn't always fall out on the sixth of the year. In the days of the Tanaim, when they still did Kiddush HaChodesh HaPi Ariya, the Gemara says, Pamim Hei, Pamim Vav, Pamim Zayin. So Shavuos is really a function of when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. So the people didn't know by the time it came Pesach, people lived far away from Yerushalayim, didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was established. So they didn't know when Pesach was. So they had observed Yantav Sheni, Shal Golias Misofik. But by the time it comes Shavuos is ready over 2 months after Rosh Chodesh Nisan was established. So 2 months and 5 days later, they still didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. Once you know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan is, you know when Shavuos, you know which day of the week Shavuos is going to be. So why do you have to observe Yantav Sheni Shal Shavuos? So Rav Soloveitchik thought he doesn't understand why such a kasha. There were probably places that were so far away from Yerushalayim, they didn't know. Even 2.5 months later, they didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Nikva. But that's the Rambam asked that kasha. So the Rambam answers, based on the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that if you live in the area where the Shluchei Nisan Magim and Shluchei Tishrei are not Magim, they didn't have email, they didn't have, how would they notify all the people all over the world when Rosh Chodesh was established? So they would send people on horseback, and they would travel as far as they could. So in Chodesh Nisan, the Pesach is the 15th. They have 14 days to travel. 2 of the 14 days have to be Shabbos. So 2 days they didn't travel, and the other 12 days they did travel. In Tishrei, the Shluchei Tishrei couldn't only not travel on the 2 days Shabbos. They couldn't travel on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. So sometimes there were 4 days that they couldn't travel. So there's a possibility that there's a location, a city, where the Shluchei Nisan Magim and the Shluchei Tishrei are not Magim, because the Shluchei Tishrei can't travel 4 days. Shluchei Nisan, only 2 days they can't travel. So what's the din in those communities? They only have to observe Yantav Sheni on Sukkot, but they don't have to observe Yantav Sheni on Pesach, because the Shluchei Nisan were Magim. So the Gemara says, no, if there's a community where you have to observe 2 days Yantav for Sukkot, then you have to make a loy plug and you have to observe 2 days Yontif for Pesach as well, even though there is no Sfeikah Yontif. So the Rambam said that's the reason all over the world why we observe Yontif Sheni Shel Golias on Shavuos. Everybody knew. By the time it came Shavuos, it's already over 2 months after Rosh Chodesh Nisan was established. Everybody in the whole wide world already knew when, what day of the week Shavuos will be. And we only observe 2 days Shavuos because of a loy plug Rabban. So that's what led. The Rebbe Yehuda had a grandson who wrote a sefer on the Rambam that's called Yad HaMelech. They quote him in Shulchan Aruch every so often. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes him. He was the rabbi in Brod. His name is also Landau. He was the son of the Rebbe Yehuda. The family name is Landau. So there was a man who was deathly sick on the second day Shavuos. And if he were to die, he was married and he had no children. His wife would need chalitza. And the brother, the Yavam, lived far away. And she would be an aguna. She would never be able to get the chalitza. It would be impossible. So he permitted, because of aguna, he permitted them to write the get on the second day Shavuos, and the husband should give the get in order to be matter his wife from igun. Because the whole observance of Yom Tov Sheni of Shavuos is on a lower level of that than the other Yomim Tovim, because it's not even a sfeik of Yom, it's only because of a loy plug. So this made a big stir. He was the rabbi in Brod, so Shlomo Kluger corresponded, who was a contemporary of his. Shlomo Kluger corresponded with Chassam Sofer, and they both prohibited it. Chassam Sofer has a line that because Yantav Sheni of Shavuos never was a Sfeik of Yoyma, and nonetheless they established it, so it's Mochomer than every other Yantav Sheni. Very strange. Why should it be Mochomer? Well, that's fakert. Rabbi Mordechai Tendler writes in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Masoros Moshe. He put out a few volumes of things that he heard from Rabbi Moshe. Moshe said, if anything, it should be kal, it should be less chomer, not more chomer. There isn't even a sfeik of the yayin.
Did Rabbi say that they were masakin, that they were masakin that second day versus? So it's a more direct action, right? So if this, we look right at the Torah as a psak Sanhedrin, right? Right? Isn't that how we see it? So if we see, I'm trying to say, I understand the Chassam Sofer, because the Chassam Sofer is saying is that if it's an offshoot of something else, then it's our interpretation, it's in our own mind. But if we see it as the actual psak, then it's a psak of Sanhedrin. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to do anything. But as long once it's there, we can't just go and be mevatel it. And therefore, maybe that's what Chacham Sofer is saying. Would that make sense, or am I misunderstanding?
Chacham Sofer had his opinion.
Okay. I'm just defending because isn't that the Rambam says that we look at all this as a psak Sanhedrin, right? And the psak and Sanhedrin is they say it. We're not allowed to. It's more chumer than even like the Torah, right? So I'm just defending the Chacham Sofer based on my understanding, unless I'm misunderstanding it.
No, you didn't misunderstand. Okay. I personally think, like Rav Moshe said, if anything should be less. There was a great Goyen who died 100 years ago, wrote to Tshuvas Chelkas Yoyov. He was a Chassidish Rebbe. He was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, but it was also very great, like a Talmud Chover. So he, in his Tshuvas, he's of the opinion, whenever you have a Din de Rabbanan that's only based on a Leitlug, there really isn't a reason to make this Din de Rabbanan. It's only a Leitlug because of other situations. So then anything that's only forbidden because of a law plug would be mutter b'makam mitzvah.
I got it. So the Chacham Sofer says the same thing by if someone agrees with Hillel by Mashiach, right? Because Hillel says, "Ein Mashiach li'Yisrael." The Chacham Sofer calls him, it says, even Hillel would now have to change his opinion because all his chaverim now disagree with him, right? Okay. So to say Chacham Sofer, according to his sheet, is that once it's settled and it's fine, and it's finalized by whoever finalized it, then we have to go. We have to follow that. So I'm saying Chacham Sofer is streamlined. It's going to his sheet is that whatever it says, if it happens that way, and if it's said that way, and Roiv Paskin that way, then we can't go back to their thought. But it's not a fun way of thinking because not always do we agree.
Please
with
let the Rebbe speak.
Very good. Very good. No, that's all I plan to say. Okay. There are more topics to discuss, but not for now. Everyone should be well. Everyone should be healthy. Lynetta, tomorrow we're going to talk about Tziruf Leminyan. That's Tziruf Leminyan in these days. Okay, everyone should have a good day.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.